The resistance has also made its own homemade weapons by manufacturing small-scale rockets that have posed a threat to Israeli settlements around Gaza within a range of 20 kilometers.
The manufacture of this rocket was made possible through several underground workshops and various whereabouts. For this rocket to be manufactured, you first need a pipe, which can be available in different sizes in various parts of the world. The machine that modules this pipe, though, is also available in different types, sizes, and capabilities. At this stage, the pipe goes through modeling from one underground workshop to another, until it is fully equipped in the final stages of the process with an explosive head. To be rest assured of the effect of these rockets, we make the rocket head also, which contains, of course, TNT and some other potassium nitrate elements.
In addition, resistance fighters have been able to make some anti-tank shells and guided roadside bombs that could damage a highly sophisticated Israeli tank known as the Merkava.
With the help of God, the An-Nasr Salahuddin Brigades managed to manufacture an explosive device that is made of very simple ingredients. The brigades managed to plant this device near the evacuated Israeli settlement of Nitzarim. At that time, a new Israeli armored vehicle approached the area and ran over the explosive device and was blown up. The strong blast destroyed that highly sophisticated vehicle and killed its crew as well. The incident proved the failure of the Zionist enemy security theory. Moreover, it foiled the tendencies of the Zionist enemy or other countries to acquire the Merkava tank once they realized how fragile it can be when targeted in the field.
Throughout the battles with the occupation, Palestinian resistance fighters have at times resorted to calm in order to have the opportunity to reconsider and revise their military plans or tactics. Ceasefire agreements are usually reached with the Israeli occupation through the help and mediation of a third party. For instance, in June 19, 2008, Egyptian mediators brokered a six-month ceasefire. However, the Israeli occupation didn't tolerate the continued development of the Palestinian resistance that is aimed at preparedness for any upcoming confrontation. Therefore, the occupying Israeli government decided to change the rules of the game.
The Zionist government declared a couple of days before the breakout of war against the Gaza Strip that it would change the entire equation. They aimed at undermining and eradicating the Hamas government structure and eliminating the resistance and ending all its forms in the Gaza Strip. All this had been declared by Livni, the Israeli foreign minister, 2 days before the war. It is evident that those statements were the actual objectives of the occupation forces, thus underpinning the causes of the war. Furthermore, we knew that the occupation would resort to any and all means to achieve those goals. We thus understood how harsh the upcoming war would be on the Palestinian community, the resistance, and Hamas.
Of 3 weeks, the Israeli war machine launched an all-out war against Gaza, killing people and shelling houses. In return, the Palestinian resistance factions fired homemade rockets on adjacent Israeli areas in a range of 40 kilometers on a daily basis. Also, resistance fighters engaged in battles with the Israeli soldiers, shelled Israeli military posts with mortar shells, and targeted Israeli tanks with anti-tank shells. On January 23, 2009, the occupying Israeli government announced a unilateral ceasefire.
The occupation announced a unilateral ceasefire, and so did we. Yet our objective out of that announcement was different from that of the occupation. The occupation breached the ceasefire. This is considered a continued attack on the Palestinian people, as well as a genuine continuation of a chain of war crimes against the Gaza Strip. The war on Gaza did not actually come to a halt. We, in the Al-Qassam Brigades and other resistant factions here, reserve the right to strike back at the right time and the right place if necessary. There is no binding agreement between us.
The Israeli government failed to crush the resistance despite the widespread casualties among Gaza civilians. Following the war, the Palestinian public further supported the resistance. Definitely, the TV scenes of Israeli massacres of Palestinians, young and old, invigorated the culture of resistance among the population. The Israeli war on Gaza has actually fostered the Palestinian people's resistance against the occupation.
Martyrdom first emerged as a concept in practice among the Palestinian youth from the belief that martyrdom would bring life to their people. The Palestinian youth believe that their life is a small sacrifice for freeing their homeland from occupation. Homeland for them is you, me, my children, and your children. The occupation targets them, kills them, and shatters their hopes and lives round the clock. Therefore, the youth are totally convinced that this occupation must be killed before it kills them.
Following the war, the game changed. Many men have joined the resistance. This has led the various resistance factions to double their efforts to get more weapons and intensify their trainings. According to commentators, commanders of the Israeli army expect that they would one day face a systematic army that enjoys fighting strategies and tactics to be used in any upcoming war between the Israeli army and resistance factions. For instance, the Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman was quoted saying that the Palestinian resistance was not undermined, and that in a course of 1 year, the resistance will likely obtain hundreds of long-range missiles, hitting Tel Aviv itself eventually.
Perhaps the real miracle in the besieged Gaza Strip is the ability of the Gaza resistance factions to continue developing their weapons. They're being developed in a way that guarantees a balance of terror with the Zionists. The Zionist occupation is obviously losing track. Sometimes they claim that the resistance rockets are ineffective. Other times they ask the international community for help in preventing the rocket fire. Besides the balance of terror created by the rockets, I believe that they have caused a state of confusion among the Zionist entity.
Resistance factions in Gaza learned a lot of lessons during and after the Israeli war on the coastal territory, particularly in the shadow of the current undeclared truce. Among these lessons is the necessity to encounter Israeli aircraft, because of which Israel is superior to resistance factions. During the war, Israeli warplanes carried out a total of 2,500 raids on the region, dropping approximately 1 million kilograms of explosives. The large-scale Israeli air raids could be attributed to the fact that Palestinian resistance factions did not own anti-aircraft missiles. Therefore, the resistance factions have been considering sorting out this imbalance of power.
For the Palestinian resistance to encounter the Israeli air attacks, it may need a substantial technical or logistical support. Such a support is the responsibility of Arab or Islamic nations. The Arabs and Muslims should hereby extend a helping hand by providing the Palestinian resistance with anti-aircraft missiles, given the fact that the Palestinian people have the right to defend themselves with all possible means at their disposal. Furthermore, no one has the right to deny them from their established right of resistance.
In addition to these lessons, Palestinian resistance factions began to consider new defensive military tactics that were consistent with the scale of a given attack and the weapons employed by the occupation army. They also increased field coordination among each other in terms of deployment of various ambushes and positions in order to encounter invading forces more efficiently. More importantly, the factions are now seeking more professionalism to defend any attack, regardless of its scale, attempting to keep more restrained as long as such an attack continues. The resistance fighters realize that they should not be dragged into a battlefield that the occupation army wants, especially in open areas. Also, they came to learn that swift and limited attacks against invading forces would confuse such forces and disable them from making advancements.
We in the Salah al-Din brigades have our own tactics and training techniques that we get our affiliates acquainted with prior to any foreseen war. When we anticipate a war, we coordinate with all other field military brigades in the Gaza Strip. These factions include the Saraya al-Quds of the Islamic Jihad and the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades of Fatah. We set up a field operation coordination task force in conjunction with all other field operatives in order to plan properly for our actions on the ground and reinforce partnership with others for the sake of better resistance.
They are like ghosts. We don't see the fighters. They rapidly advance towards us from the underground. When we move, we feel we are walking above a city, says Captain Mickey Sharbit, the commander of the Israeli tank battalion, voicing out the fear of his soldiers on the Gaza battlefield. He said, "My soldiers consider the battle as hell."
We are definitely not running short of tricks. Quite the contrary. We have many more tricks in our hands to reveal in our battle with the Zionist occupation. In every stage, more surprising actions and tactics will be taken in return for the stupid Israeli acts and crimes. Some may consider such tactics as being simple. The fact of the matter is that they are effective enough and would leave the Zionist occupation in worry. Future holds in store more lessons for the occupation.